ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Oh, got to put me on the picture. Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am excited to be here, and I am excited that you're here. Thank you for checking out the show, Adventures in Truth livecast and Adventures in Truth Podcast. We are live on Wednesday mornings, as we are now, at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, then at Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And today's show is going to be an awesome show. We're going to be looking at eclipses, and my co-host here today, Shelley Antine, amazing astrologer who's going to help us kind of understand the influences of solar and lunar eclipses and what that kind of overlay of energy does in our experience and how it impacts us. You can see throughout our culture, there's places where you can, you know, read about and learn about horoscopes and eclipse information, but we're going to get into what are these influences and how do they actually impact us, and what can we look for as we experience these things? Because I think we all have an experience when those occur, and it's nice to kind of have an idea and a sense of really what those experiences can be telling us and showing us about our experience. So really excited to dive into that conversation. This is an area that I know a little about, but I'm excited that Shelley's here to take us to a lot more knowing about. So it's going to be great to have her influence and wonderful expertise here today. Talking about other exciting things on the horizon and things that are exciting is my book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. It's a powerful book, and it's a powerful book because it can change your relationship with fear. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we are inundated on a daily basis across all spectrums in our lives as human beings, and particularly in the Western culture. We are inundated with advertising and media and news, and wherever we go, whether we're online, whether we're out shopping, wherever we are on the radio, we're constantly being pinged into this sort of fear experience, this fear-based kind of process. I've been observing it a lot with what's happening in our government, where things are being blown out of proportion, or things are being expressed in a way that are about stimulating fear and then trying to stimulate resolution rather than just stimulate resolution, rather than just stimulate an uplifting experience. So changing that consciousness of fear has to start with an individual. And what I know about my book is that it helps you to understand the evolution of fear in your own experience. It helps you to recognize how you were trained into this fear-based experience, because it's not normal and natural to the human process. We don't come in afraid. We learn how to be afraid. We learn how to fear. And you'll get to see what the differences are between having a fear-based response and having an opportunity-based response, which is a response that is not attached to fear. And when you learn how to change your relationship with fear, it changes everything in your experience, because that filter really dumbs down your perspective. So your perspective becomes quite limited. And while you can still see things, those things you can see are from a limited viewpoint. And what the opportunity-based experience does is it opens that whole perspective up. So now you are availing yourself to all of the opportunity available to you in that alignment. And that's how it changes everything, because you no longer have to fight through this perspective to get where you need to go. You're opening to this perspective, which allows for those possibilities and potentials to show up so you can engage them with all of the amazingness that you are. So www.adventuresintruth.com, you can go there to Click the links. You can learn more about the book. You can learn more about the show. And you can learn more about working with me one-on-one as well. So check it out, www.adventuresintruth.com. And I think you'll be very happy. And also the book links are there and everything. So you can order through Amazon and Kindle and all that kind of good stuff. So as we get ready to carry on here, on the other side of this quick break, we're going to bring Shelley in and we're going to dive into our topic for today. So thanks again for being here, guys. And remember, if you're on YouTube, hit that bell, subscribe to the YouTube. Our YouTubes go up right after the show. And then these shows come out again about 6 weeks later as a podcast. So you can catch it on any of the major podcasts. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, let everybody know about the message of this show and the exciting things that happen on Adventures in Truth. And I hope that, as is the goal of the show, that we are providing a platform for you to stand solidly in your power to find your own power and transformation and learning how to really expand your own energy. So again, glad you're here. We're going to have a great show and we'll be back right after this. And we're back, and we are back with Shelley. Hi, Shelley. How are you this morning?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. We're going to have it's interesting. We were talking a little before, and I will be honest. I think that my lack of depth in this particular area has created a little bit of insecurity because I don't feel like I can drive the show the way I usually do. And I even had the conversation with myself in advance to say, dude, it's okay. Shelley's got this. She's going to run with it and she's going to do well. And then as we got together and talked, and it was like, why does it sound like we're talking at different rooms? We got to fix this. We're like, she's in that room and I'm in this room and we got to like bring this together. So I'm just saying it because I love to be transparent about my own process and recognizing when I'm standing in my own way, going, you know, just relax. So anyway,
you drive.
No. Well, as far as this, the knowledge of understanding, you know, like I was telling you before, I have my somewhat limited viewpoint of eclipses. I know in my own process that I know there's an influence and I know something occurs, but I don't always understand what that influence is because it seems like it's really broad. But maybe it's not because of the way it happens. And so that's why I'm excited to have this conversation, because, again, thinking in terms of the main players in this thing, you know, the moon and the sun, whether it's solar or lunar, and what are those influences really saying? In the things that I've learned, the sun has always kind of represented the soul, and the moon has always kind of represented the personality and the interplay between those two. That has always sort of sufficed for me, but I realized as I was researching a little more before the show, oh, okay, I'm lacking in depth here. So that again, why I'm excited to take this to a whole other level of understanding, because I know you're going to help us see how it's impacting us. How do these energies that are continually influencing us,
right.
You know, because I was thinking about things like, gosh, what a complicated relationship, because if an eclipse is happening through a certain vector of energy, how does that relate to my chart? And does it relate to my chart? And blah, blah, you know, and so, and then it started to make my head hurt. So I stopped and said, okay, this is where Shelley's going to make this really helpful for us, because we're going to get to understand it way easier. So,
I hope so.
Hi.
Hi there. So to go to your definition, I'm going to say, first of all, I'm going to say that light is everything for our life, for our information, and the greatest source, not the only source, but the greatest source of light for us on Earth is the sun. And the secondary greatest light, or how much light we have available, comes from the moon because it reflects sunlight from its surface. It doesn't have its own light. And that's why it goes through the phases. It's a relationship between the moon and the sun from how we see it on Earth. And so we get times of more light from the moon. And, you know, right now we're going up towards the full moon. And at that point, we do have an eclipse. So the moon is, if it's a reflected light, then that shows that it is a part of us that is more of a receiver and then an instant reflector. So the moon is, I would call it the instinctive response to your life. Without thinking, you respond this way because you receive something and you are reflecting it as you receive it. It's quick. It's a quick, like the moon.
Okay.
So the sun is more consciously taking information and deciding how to communicate. So it's self-expression. It isn't just the soul, it's part of the personality. I mean, you can call it the soul, but the way that we are creative and the way that we express is the sun in the chart.
Okay. So this so what you're saying, if I'm understanding, so I cap, because we're gonna have to go to do our little meditation here. So this is a great intro for people to kind of sit with in the basic understanding. So you're, if I'm understanding, and please correct me, the moon is the internal experience and how that's reflected. The sun is the external experience and how we express it.
It's how we express our experience. But the moon will be instinctively reacting. Feelings. Moon is feelings.
Okay. So the internal experience about the external experience. I mean,
you were actually talking about that quite a bit at the beginning. You're having your instinctive response to, you know, the not quite knowing. That's that's very lunar. And then when you choose how you're going to deal with it and express it and create with it, then that's your solar.
That's brilliant. Okay. That was great. Good analogy and perfect, because it was right there in the example. Good. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a quick meditation. I love to get us a sense of where we're going to go with this. And then let's align all of our energy so that we can maximize this experience with Shelley in really fleshing out how to understand these energies and influences. And then also using this as a time to ground and focus and expand your own energy. So we're going to, Shelley, we're going to see you in just a few minutes. And we are going to dive into our moment to focus. Good. So glad you guys are here. Let's take this moment. Just bring yourself present into this moment. Let's sit your feet on the floor, or if you're laying down, just in a relaxed position. Let your eyes close. Of course, if you're driving, don't do that. And just let the breath move in and out easily and freely. And as you close your eyes and focus into your breath, I want you to become aware of where your consciousness is. Where is your energy out there around you? What are you attending to at this very moment, other than my voice? What things are you being aware of? What things is your mind pulling you in the direction of? Just notice. There's no judgment or assessment. This is just a process of awareness. The first part of becoming conscious is becoming aware, to become aware of what's taking place in your own field. So notice the ways that your consciousness is pulled. Notice the ways that your energy is consumed by the things that are outside of you. Maybe it's the pandemic, maybe it's the holiday, maybe it's work, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's the dog, maybe it's, who knows, plumbing, could be anything. Where are you attending? And as you become aware of that, I don't want you to do anything about it as far as changing it, except follow the instruction, because what we're going to do is we're going to consciously pull that consciousness back into the inside of your body. I want you to bring all of your awareness into your internal experience. So bring it right into the heart space, in this personal, quiet, easy space that you have with yourself. Just draw that consciousness in, draw it into your body. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Just be aware of all of it flowing into your body so that your awareness is now focused all internally. And in that internal focus, let the consciousness roam around a little. See, let it explore the inside of your head and around and through your brain. Explore the connection of your brainstem to your spine and your body and your neck, feeling the vertebrae, feeling the musculature, feeling all of this in through the shoulders. Just be aware of your internal experience. How do you feel on the inside? Let that awareness travel through your chest and through your torso, experiencing your organs, experiencing all the blood vessels and muscles and everything going on there. Just be aware of it as it travels through your hips. And allow that awareness going down the arms and legs, keeping it inside the body. And as you notice your body, as you notice the internal experience, if you feel a little bit of discomfort, just focus your breath there for just a second. Just focus awareness and breath and breathe life into it. Open it up, expand it, let it release. And now we're going to focus even more intently into the heart space, bringing all of that awareness into the breath as we focus in the breath. Our breath is the foundation of our human experience. Our breath is the life force, the prana, the chi, the energy that animates us. So when we learn to manage breath, we learn to create a powerful foundation for calling forth life force within us to create, to expand, to grow. And when we have the power of breath harnessed, we then enroll the mind into the process of the soul. We use that energy to influence how we move out into the world. So we're going to inhale to a count of four, fully and completely filling. And then we're going to rest at the top for a moment and feel that fullness. And then we're going to release. We're going to purge all that air out of the mouth, from the mouth, purging for a count of six, because we want to purge all of the deepest parts of the lungs and through the body, purging that old energy and air. And then as we reach the bottom, we're resting in the emptiness, in the void, getting comfortable in that emptiness. So let's go with this process. We're going to begin with an inhale, inhaling through the nose, two, three, four, holding, relaxing, and now releasing from the mouth, two, three, four, five, six, and now we rest at the bottom in that emptiness, feeling the void. So we engage the lungs, we inhale, two, three, four, and full, relaxed, and now releasing, two, three, four, five, six, and now we rest in the emptiness, rest in the void, and engage once again, inhaling, filling completely, two, three, four, feeling that fullness, relaxing the shoulders. Everything is relaxed in fullness. And then we release and purge. Two, three, four, five, six. And then relax the body in the emptiness. And I want you to continue that rhythm for just another few cycles. Feeling that air, feeling the expansion, 360 degrees in your chest, feeling that air opening you up as you reach the top and allowing yourself to experience a relaxation in fullness. As you release and surrender all of that old energy and air, just letting it all go, no attachment, surrendering it to a count of six as you reach the bottom. And then resting in that emptiness, feeling the freedom in the void. And continuing on, I want you to take in my words as you go through this cycle a couple more times. Just feel into these words, let them move through you. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Feel that invocation bring forth breath. Feel it expand in you. And as you stay connected to breath, allow yourself now to let that consciousness, that awareness of you, begin to expand back outside of your body. Not in any specific direction, just opening your field to begin to take in and to walk with us as we take this adventure. And bring your awareness back into the space as Shelley comes back in with us, and we'll begin to dive in more deeply, and hopefully this will bring us all together in a way that we can have an amazing conversation together. Well, hello there again.
Hi there. I had a realization about something I needed to say.
Oh, right on.
Yes. You know, everybody talks about how intense 2020 is, you know, and how that's going to be like a catchphrase for insanity. How was your day? It was a 2020. eclipses is our theme, right? And in 2020, we had more eclipses than most years have. There's a normal pattern of eclipse energy. We had six. We're up to our last two in 2020. And 2021 will give us four, like usual.
Yeah. So we had we had four solar or four lunar and two solar, right?
No. Oh, this we started with a lunar eclipse. So we've got one, two, three, four. And yes, we had the solar eclipse. And we had them also, a lot of them on the big major moments, like June 21st, which is when, you know, we get that solstice. And we have our last one is not far from a solstice, too.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So it's been a very impactful year, partially because of all the eclipses and the lunar eclipses being more about our emotional experiences and our relationships.
So I want to put up, you provided for us here kind of a definition of how we can look at eclipses.
Yeah.
It says eclipses bring necessary endings so we may plant the seeds of change in order to align us with our soul's path.
That's really what's happening. Yeah, that's what's happening. But, you know, the idea of change is always a frightening thing for people and for a society, a culture. So, you know, because each country has a sun and a moon and a chart, you know, it has its own chart. So, every time we get near the eclipse and even 6 weeks before an eclipse of any kind, you're going to start getting hints about something that has to change in your life. And if we're coming into a lunar eclipse, like we're coming into on the 30th, we have the full moon lunar eclipse. Mm-hmm. We have been getting the signals and keys about relationships and our feeling self. And so we may be noticing, and when we get to an eclipse point, where something has to change. You know, if you're on Facebook, you may see a lot of posts about getting rid of toxic people in your life, you know, like all of a sudden that starts to be the thing that people are talking about, or clearing ancestral energy, or because we're coming into the feelings have to go through a transformation for us to grow into the next phase.
Okay.
And we sometimes, as you may know, as a counselor and a coach, we tend to bury stuff that
no,
is uncomfortable.
No, we don't do that.
So this is a time when that buried stuff can also come up for us to have to see. It's a full moon, but it's being eclipsed by the sun. And I mean, you know, sorry, by the earth, between the sun and the moon. So our experience is to bring something up from the bottom of the earth. As we come out of an eclipse, we have a new doorway. We have a pathway. The light returns. So first it covers, does that in the solar also, covers the light, And we're like, oh, whoa, what happened? Mm-hmm. And then we see the light again. Like, I see the light. So the pathway is revealed. Now, another thing is that we are going to have the influence of an eclipse for about 6 months. And people, individual people, mm-hmm. are influenced by that change or that shift and that new pathway more dramatically if they have a planet that's right on it. Like if the lunar eclipse is on your Venus or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, or if it's on your ascendant, you know, rising sun, you're going to get that whoa quickly. Whereas if it isn't, you'll still have it, but it may space itself out during the orb of influence, as we call it.
It won't be as intense. Okay.
Yes.
Something occurs to me that I want to throw in here for the listeners that as you're talking, the rhythms of the sun and the moon, and particularly with regard to eclipses, I think I was flashing in my mind of when we were more connected to the rhythms of nature, and when we were, you know, more in that, I guess you could even say that toward the pagan time of when there was rhythm to understanding that when these things happened, there were influences. We have, as a culture across the planet, really have sort of dumbed down that process in our experience because of all of the influences that we allow to distract us. So it's important to understand that these influences are still as powerful as they always were. The challenge is that we are less receptive to them because of our perspective. And so the desire here for me, and I'm sure for Shelley, is to bring more of that aligned space back for people to see these influences, because they're so helpful. They're not about torturing us every 4 months or every, you know, or why is the world gone crazy? No, the craziness is because we're not paying attention to the natural rhythm. And so stuff is trying to be brought forward. Stuff is trying to show up, and we're going, yeah, but I got to play Pong, or but I got to go have a beer, or I got, and again, none of those things are bad, guys. It's just understanding that when you smack awareness out of the way for something else, every time you do that, you diminish your own experience. And that's all I want to bring to that is just to add that level, so that as we're listening to this and understanding it, you got to go a little deeper than the surface, because this is not your, you know, turn into the New York Times astrology so you can have your four letters of what's going on. This is about how is this energy influencing you on a very personal level, because it is. And we want you to have ability to access that. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shel.
This is a good place. You led up nicely to the idea of what happens in general. And, you know, all the way, as you say, back in the past, if you saw an eclipse, you were under the eclipse of the sun, let's say, it was big because there is a shift in the geomagnetic field. And, you know, everything would go quiet. The birds would stop flying. You know, they're affected, as we're not as aware now about our body electric. So we don't realize our body's also being affected by these shifts in light, even in the regular lunar cycle. But the solar eclipse was a whoa, you know, in all cultures, not just one. But they were feeling that it was indicating a solar eclipse, the death of the king. Or there would be a big shift in leadership. All right. So this is really interesting to point out. And when we as a country are under the shadow of a solar or a lunar eclipse, we're going to have more, in a cultural sense, come up for us. So, you know, we apparently mentioned this before. But my life went on, and you may not have heard it, but, you know, when we were under the solar eclipse in August of 2017, everybody was all excited and people were traveling to areas to watch the phenomena. But what the eclipse was doing was the shadow started in Oregon and went in a diagonal to the south and off the coast of South Carolina, where I am.
I remember that.
So what I was telling people, like, But, you know, look, this is a divisive eclipse. This is going to cut our country in half, literally. Now, I think that it's pretty obvious that that occurred. By now, it's been said so many times that we don't have to resist the thought. There is this huge division. And the thing is, if we can see these things coming, you know, and we really understand this, then we can look also within ourselves at how we're dealing with the ideas of dividing against, yeah, you know, for and against, right and wrong.
So let me ask a question, and I'm putting you on the spot with this, not intentionally. It's more of if you happen to have the information. Can you talk about the signature of that eclipse? Meaning, what were the main energies? What was involved in that?
Very important, and I remember very well.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it was in the sign of Leo, and it was exactly conjunct the Mars ascendant of the person who was in the White House.
The wow.
King. And so it had something to do with the government. So we had a lot of people saying, not my president. Remember mm-hmm. those? Right? Mm-hmm. And the other people that were worshipful. It was a huge divide in how we were looking at the leadership.
Yeah.
And what is interesting and significant, as we find now, is that the solar eclipse on December 14th at 23 degrees of Sagittarius, which is the moon and an eclipsed moon in the south node for the person in the White House now, the eclipse comes right onto that. So the fourth house is the home.
And that's the eclipse that's coming up.
And so, yes. And he is in the White House living there right now. But the eclipse is going to change. It's a change. And it's a dramatic one because it's conjunct the planet and the node that he has. See, like I said earlier, if you don't have a planet conjunct or, you know, nothing. So it was very significant that that August eclipse was conjunct his Mars ascendant. Mm-hmm. And this one is conjunct his moon south node in Sagittarius in his home.
So what we're describing here is that there is a macro and a micro of the experience of an eclipse. So the eclipse in and of itself would be considered a macro, right? Macro is the big one, right? So that would be considered the broad swath. That's the one that, like you were saying, here it cuts this channel across the country as it's moving. Then where it relates to you personally is how are you influenced by virtue of your own chart? So if it's occurring it's occurring in a sign that is highlighted in your or conjunct in your chart, then you can focus your awareness to say it's conjuncting your fourth house. You can say, I can be aware that stuff around my home life is going to be affected by this because it's pinging my fourth house.
Yes.
Don't know what that's going to look like because it could be my, I think you can also look at what relationship with dad, I think, or I mean, there's a bunch of stuff.
Family of origin. And also, as you say, that the moon in the fourth house would be a female that's in your home also. So we're going to be wondering what's going to happen with a female who happens to be living with this man in this home.
Yes.
Okay.
So again, it's about, and also remember, guys, you don't have to do anything about this. This is about awareness. And once the awareness once that awareness comes up, then you have something you can engage with. You don't need to take this and go on a hunting mission. Who's the person? Who do I got to deal with?
You already know. This is the truth. You may be burying the thought, but you already know. And that's why I say there's a 6-month approach. And so during that, a 6-week approach, during that 6 weeks as this is approaching, you're having these things happen. You're understanding something is going on. You're getting the focus without you knowing it. And then once the eclipse is there, it will be It will be seen. And the new way, this is the most important piece, is there's a new way after this. So even for that person, the eclipse in the fourth house on the moon, that person has the opportunity to move into a new way. But what will they do is up to them. And how that will look is up to their actions. And perhaps with South Node, it's another issue. But, you know, if you know where eclipses are falling in your birth chart, you also know a part of your life that has to be worked on and changed.
Fantastic.
So
on that note, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to do a quick commercial and then we're going to come back and we're going to have Shelley's moment. She's got some things to share with the group, with you guys all out there.
Yes.
But when we come back, we're going to continue this dive even more deeply, going into talking about what response can we have, which we're starting to do now, and just the impact of these eclipse energies, that they are important and significant. And the more we can get into those rhythms, we'll get on that. We'll go back to that on the other side of the break. So we'll be back right after this. We're back. That was my thank you, Lauren Michaels Harris, for that wonderful bumper for the holidays. That was my first time I got to use it. So it's just fun having all these little fun things to play with. All right. We're back and we are going to shift over here, and Shelley is going to take the floor and tell us about what she's got going on. So Shelley, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, I have a lot going on. The eclipse is going to stimulate my house of public life and career. And what I have had happen is, this is a book called The Energy Almanac, and you can find me on the Astral Essence page on Facebook. I have a post about this, and I have it on my blog page, also on my website, shelleyentine.com. And I was contracted to do all of the astrology writing for 2021. And that was really a fascinating thing to do. And seeing a lot of what I was seeing coming about right now is very good to validate. But this is a workbook for people to take into their personal lives. You've got the forecast for the year. You've got diagrams of the cycles of the sun and moon, which are impacting you. You've got a forecast for every month and also every week, and dates to watch. So you have tons of information, plus a few other people are collaborators in the book who are giving you suggestions for things to do. One is crystals, one is foods, one is yoga, and various other things. So you can take this with you and you can look at it as an overview of the year, then the overview of months, and it will really help you plan. And this, again, I was looking at the ad for Jim's book about fear. And again, I think that when we know, when we have some clue, it's easier not to get attracted to the fear energy, because you say, okay, I see this is a great week for me to this or that, and this is how I'm going to go about it, and I've got some support in this. This is a general, definitely general, but it will be helpful. And then on the individual level, if you wanted to know exactly where is all of this happening for me, then you get to have your individual chart read. And I would say 2020 was a very important year to have a chart read, and so is 2021. And that's because we're moving out of a cycle in Capricorn, and we're moving into the great conjunction with Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius. So it's going to be a completely different energy. The signs of influence are not the same. So it's good to know. It's just not to make you frightened, but it's very good to know where and how and when, and how you can really utilize your time. And then also how you can find your ways to go about making the most out of anything. Because you'll find out in your birth chart reading exactly where are my eclipses falling this year, what planets are affecting, so that you can start to ponder those areas and think about what you want to vision. Because as I see it, the Jupiter, Saturn, the Aquarius influence is going to help you empower the visions of the future that you want for yourself. And that energy is going to be very, very helpful for you to know about. So that is what's going on with me as an astrologer.
Fantastic. Put that book up big and tall one more time, if you would. I'd love everybody to see it.
Book, and you know,
the Energy Almanac.
Yep. If you go to my blog page on shellyantine.com or to the Astral Essence Facebook page.
Okay. I've been putting that up for you. So good, good. All right. So get Shelly's book, guys. It's actually directly hers, but a lot of good information. The stuff that she shares here, she shares there. So all these amazing influences that we have the opportunity to understand, or at least be aware of, so that we can be in receptivity of that rather than the experience many of us have, which is sort of getting smacked around by it because we're not aware that it's here. And then we're making decisions in times that may not serve us to make decisions. And, you know, I want to say to that, because it's such a powerful, powerful thing. One of the biggest challenges that I have found in my own process of growth and attempts at expanding my consciousness and all of that stuff is that there are ebbs and flows to the flow of energy into my experience, and that honoring those ebbs and flows is freaking challenging sometimes, because we're so trained into this do mode that we don't realize that when we use our energy in a particular way, it has an impact, and that impact has to be allowed because the impact is not only external, it's internal. And when we use energy in a particular fashion, it's important to realize that there's time that needs to be regenerative, time that needs to be contemplative, you know, where you go internal, and it's normal. And sometimes those periods last for a day or two or three, and understand that's normal. And what I think this book can help you understand is why that's the case.
Yes.
Here's the influences that are going on. So, you know, if you got a big deal coming up that you want to be on top of, you don't want to do it when the energy's at their low ebb. You want to do them when they're at the high ebb. So anyway,
exactly.
Just in support of,
by the way, eclipses.
Yes. And speaking of
the same as, you know, a cycle. So what we say to people is don't start something new. Like, don't open your business the week before an eclipse, you know, because there's going to be a major shutdown for a moment. And then a new thing is going to come in. It's sort of like when Mercury's retrograde and we say, you know, you're going to be seeing things differently after Mercury goes direct. So don't do new things. So these are important times to understand because you want to empower yourself as much as you can.
Yeah, and I think that you spoke again, and I just heard this in a different way this time. One of the significant things that Shelley is pointing out to us is the recognition that there is an influence, but then there is a change that occurs as a result of the influence. Yes. Whether you are in agreement with the change or not, the energy is changing. So know that you come out the other side in a new place, and having that new place is fantastic, because if you follow the energy, there will be an ease and flow to that process. Right. If you resist the energy, it's going to feel uncomfortable and you're going to feel beat up by it.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I learned when I was first learning astrology, and my teacher was telling me, you know, you have the opportunity to agree to what's happening and get your lesson and move on, or you get to keep pushing it away until something on the outer world separates you from it.
Yeah.
You know, and that I found that in my life quite a bit. If you're in a job and you're grumbling about that job over and over again every day, every Monday, but you don't take an active decision to change, mm-hmm. all of a sudden something happens to get you out of there. Yeah. So, you know, the more you're conscious of yourself and what you're doing, and this is one of the reasons we have people who counsel and coach, right? Is to get you more aware of what you're actually, you know, putting out there into the world, because yep. this is going to come back. It's energy.
Yes. And that's why I tend to, rather than gravitate towards some of the more common spiritual labels, I tend to see myself as a reframer. That's the gift that I have. I'm able to see where energy has been and seeing how to shift your perspective to go where the energy is going so that you stay in flow, as opposed to understanding, like you said, the reason that you're uncomfortable is your resistance to the energy that's taking place. Right. That's what I do, is reframe so that you, because again, understand everybody, when you have these experiences, most of us as human beings tend to look in history to understand the current experience. And what we're trying to show you is that through the changes that occur with these energies, you are not, that doesn't exist anymore. You don't want to go in history, because history is not going to inform your future. Reframing your perspective is what informs your future. So instead of looking back, trying to ping off of this to get to there, we say, no, let's go look here, because all of the information and energy is here. And so are you now here. So using that to help catapult that experience and create the positive change that you're looking for. So think of it in terms of reframing your experience, even in your own life, rather than what's wrong, say, how can I shift my perspective to see this positively? How could I see this? You know, my favorite thing lately is, what would love do? Oh, I'm resisting this situation. Okay, what would love do in this situation? Well, love would allow, love would welcome, love would not fight. And just doing that in of itself, remove the resistance. You've created space for better understanding. So
absolutely. And that's very appropriate as a message right now, because our eclipse cycle is in the sign of the nodes, which we had changed to Sagittarius as the south node, which is saying to us, wherever, you know, that's going to be the solar eclipse. You've got to look at the old beliefs and the dogmas and let them go. And the North Node in Gemini, so we actually even have this November 30th eclipse is on Gemini. Mm. And that's our North Node. So it's saying, like, all those feelings and instinctive reactions, do you need a little more information about them? You know, because that's what Gemini could provide for you. Could you do some, could you communicate? That's Gemini. You know, could you get more information and communicate? And so the one that we spoke about, and you said, what's the sign? It was Leo. We had Leo Aquarius then, which was freedom versus, you know, royalty kind of party.
King making.
Yes, and king making. Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. So now we're like throwing out some old, and this is all, you know, part of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, a paradigm shift. You know, that doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. So we're in process as a collective. And when we get into the Aquarian energy, that's the opposite of what that eclipse was in the August of 2017. Mm-hmm. It's Aquarius, the opposite sign. We're going into the 20 years of focus in the sign of Aquarius.
So it would be important, I think, as we talk about, you know, how do we respond to these influences and how do we, you know, how are we experiencing them? As you said earlier in the show, six eclipses in 2020.
Yes.
So basically, I think it was two moons and a sun, and then I don't even remember now. It was so, there were so many of them, but
two lunar eclipses and then a solar. Yeah.
Yeah. So consider this, guys, it's only November. and we're still in the same year of those eclipses. Mm-hmm. So we have another one yet to go before this year is over. Right. And so she was talking about the influences being weeks and months before and after. Just consider the image in my head is I'm taking six tiny stones in a pond, and I'm dropping these six stones next to each other in the pond and the ripples that occur from those. Imagine six at the same time. It's just this constant influence of energies that are coming and going and all over each other. And that's how we feel and how we look. You know, if you look around the world, it's like, did somebody turn off the car wash already? I'm like, I've been smacked from every different direction. But my point is just understanding, guys, as Shelley is talking, that these influences are happening right now. And some of them are lesser than they were because they happened in January, February. Some of them are still coming because there's December, and some just happened. And it's just ripples and ripples and ripples. So it's a lot about breathing.
Yes.
Breathing and observing.
Yeah, and that made me remember that we wanted to mention that the shadow of the solar eclipse that we're having in December is going to be over the southern part of South America.
Okay.
So you want to look at what happens there, you know, as time marches on. That's going to be the area that's going to have a lot of major things happen too. We have the shadow of the lunar eclipse over us. All of the United States has it. So, because it happens, you know, you have to figure this is really mechanical too. It's like at 4 something in the morning in the Eastern time zone. So you can only see a lunar eclipse if the moon is up, and the moon is only up at night, right? So if you see that an eclipse of the moon is going to be at night, you're going to be able to see it maybe. Maybe, not always, but maybe. So we will see that one here. So we are having an emotional response. There's a lot of emotional response in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to know that that's still going to be rippling out in yes. as we move forward.
And you were saying, what was this eclipse is going to be in what sign?
Gemini, 8 degrees of Gemini.
8 degrees of Gemini. So there's also the potential for feeling a little crazy.
A little crazy.
I mean, Gemini's. Yeah, what this way? Oh, no, this way. No, what this way? No, this way.
Well, yeah. A lot of communication, a lot of crazy communication is actually going on already.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily on Facebook anymore or even Twitter, but there are outlets for it now, which is, you know, just something that's the eclipse is empowering that also, but it can also empower our own thoughts. And this is the important thing to know. And your thoughts affect the whole. We're not separate. So, you know, if you want to take a positive vision and keep seeing something positive, keep doing that, because that's the way we get something positive to happen.
So how can we respond to these influences, Shelley? What, you know, here it is. I mean, this is an astrological event that we have no control over. This is an event that is occurring whether we like it or not. and it is, and all of these events. And so I know there's a, you know, for some that's kind of a little disconcerting, because you're saying, wait, I'm being impacted by something I have no control over. Well, nice. Welcome to life. welcome to life itself. But I say that tongue in cheek, obviously, but the point is that we have an ability to prepare our space, at least, maybe we don't understand what the energetic influence is, but we can always offer love. We can always offer an energy that is about remaining calm and clear and staying in our personal alignment through the use of breath and through your meditation or through the daily practice that you have, to keep your space in as much of the observer as possible, so that you can you can see these unfoldings and then out of that choose how to engage them, rather than to be impacted via unconsciousness and suddenly standing there going to the Gemini experience of, being confused and it is not necessary to be heavily negatively impacted. It's kind of fun actually to be in awareness of the influences. You know, when Mars and this whole Mars energy went retrograde and all that stuff was going on, I could literally feel it like sheets, like blankets on me. And I kept going, oh, this is just nuts. And I would find myself getting amped up over just about anything. Yeah. And I just have to take a breath and say, that's not your energy. Yeah. Breathe through it. Let it move through you. Let it take whatever it needs to take. But, you know, and of course I'm human. So every now and again, it would juice me really good. And then I have to stop and then say to Michael, God, I'm so sorry. it's on me and I don't even know what to do with it right now.
Exactly.
And so I went, I spent 2 or 3 days just being quiet, because there was nothing else I could do in the moment other than resist or fight. And I don't want to go there, you know?
Exactly. And the Gemini, you're describing the Gemini so beautifully here, doing breath. Gemini rules the lungs. So you have the breath and it rules the mind. So when you do a breath practice like you do on the show, you notice that your mind calms down. And when your mind is calm, it is open to receive new thoughts. When it's like the hamster spinning the wheel, it's not, it's trapped in thinking. So use the Gemini energy positive. Use that to do a breath practice and ask for guidance. You can ask if you're quiet. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. When that Mars energy is, especially even now direct in Aries, quiet is not a feature very often. Flying around, right?
Oh my goodness.
So, and today, you know, the moon conjunction Mars and Aries, it's like, oh, like, don't be careful. People are going through red lights, you know?
Big time.
So you have patience also to be quiet.
Very good point. Well, then patience is a really good word here, because it's important to understand, guys, again, this information is not an excuse for anything. This information is exactly what it's intended to be, which is to bring awareness and to bring consciousness to the influences that we get to experience. A lot of times, you know, you can hear people say, oh, well, Mercury's in retrograde, da, 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 and blaming that confluence of energies on your non-responsibility. And that's not cool. And that doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve you or your world in any way, shape, or form. Right. Yes, when Mercury's retrograde, it's impactful. And it's been incredibly impactful when it's been retrograde these last few months, in my experience. But when you find the flow in your own experience, you can see it's impactful, you recognize the impact, and you figure out how to work with that impact instead of blaming the impact. You know,
yes, you use it.
You use it as a tool, the tool that it is.
It is. It's a wonderful tool, actually.
Yes.
It helps you know what's up next. You
know? So, Michelle, we are on the last minute or two here, and I'm going to give that minute to you to bring us home if you want to, with regard to these. We've talked a lot about a lot of aspects of eclipses, and there, you know, this is not a topic that's a 1 hour topic for life, but we wanted to be able to really talk about these influences so that as we go into the one happening at the end of the year, and then the solar one is in 2021, right?
The solar at the end of the year, December 14th.
Oh, we have a solar at, oh, so we, okay.
Yes, that's the one that I spoke about in Sag.
Yes. Okay. Buckle up, buttercups. it's still unfolding.
Eclipse in 2021 until May. So you've got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You'll need it.
Yeah, exactly. So don't take it all too seriously. Try to find a place to allow the energy so that you can begin to see how you're influenced by it. Use these energies to help you make great choices for how you want to expand and grow your own energy and how you want to share that energy with the world.
I would like to say Sagittarius is a sign of ritual. And since we're at the end of a year having an eclipse in Sagittarius, why not create a positive ritual for yourself?
Yes.
To empower your expansion, Sagittarius, of new awareness in 2021.
Absolutely. Take that. And what a perfect time to create a portal of incredible change that can uplift you in ways that you probably can't even imagine. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. Shelley, as always, I am so grateful for you, and thank you for this amazing conversation. I learned a lot, and I hope our listeners learned a lot as well. Shelley, you can find www.shelleyentine.com, and she can and you can email her at shelley@shelleyentine.com if you want to ask some questions, find out more about the book, or to work with her and get a chart done and find out all that good stuff. www.adventuresintruth.com, where you can find all about me and my work and the show and my book and all that good stuff. Please like, subscribe, share, tell everybody about us, tell all your friends, get everybody involved, because it's a great opportunity to learn some things and to expand our experience. We appreciate you guys here at Adventures in Truth. We appreciate you taking these adventures with us and wishing you an amazing holiday. We will see you next time. And thank you all for being here, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.